Today we are starting what we're calling Vision Weekends, and we do these Vision Weekends every year here at Fellowship Church. And this, by the way, 10 years ago today, actually, we transitioned from being Bible Center Fellowship on Market and Lancaster to being Fellowship Church. And so in this season of our church, we've existed for 10 years, and we're thankful for what God is doing and has done and is moving us forward. And so this is kind of beyond just simply a vision week, and it's just we kind of look back on some things that God has done. And so we kind of see, just like everything else in life, we see the year here in America actually is more like September to August. We say that our year is from January to December, but none of us actually live like that. We actually all live as if our year here in America is from September to August. And so that's kind of how we treat it in school and work. That's how we treat it in sports to some extent. And that's how we treat it here as well. And so we look at this year that we've got, September to August. And last year, we did this Vision Weekends. We started the year last year in September into October with a theme that we just started to explore as a church, and it was just simply this idea, not me. Last year, we looked at this idea of not me. And what that particular message that we kicked off the year with last year was this idea that the world may want us to do life a certain way, that there are people that think that we should do things the way that they think we should do them. There are people that think that we should live how they think we should live. There are people that think you should act towards your marriage or towards your children or towards your career or towards your education and the way they want you to act. But sometimes we just have to stand up and say, not me. We're going to do things God's way. We're going to do things the way that God has called us to do those things. And the way that God calls me to live my life, it's going to look a little different than how God calls you to live your life. And so why don't you live your life and I'll live mine. And I'm not going to live like everybody else. I'm going to live the way God's called me to live. And so we explored that idea that for last year, we wanted to really just look at the pressures of this world, even on us as a church, to do church maybe like other people think we should do church, and just say, not us. Not me. We're gonna stick to God's unique calling for our lives, our families, our careers, our educations, our church. And I can say, looking back over the last year, I can see, wow, God really used that season for us to really solidify some of those particular things. And I can look at our church this year compared to last year and say, okay, God, I think we're ready. I think we're ready for you to take us into another season. I think we're ready for you to take us exactly where you want us to go. And I would say because of God's strength and spirit within us, I think we've done a pretty good job of this idea, not me. And we are stronger because of that idea of not me. And I can tell you that this last year for our church has been a building year. This has been a year of laying foundation. This has been a year of building frames. This last year has been a building year for God to do what he wants to do in this particular unique community. And I can tell you that over the last 3 to 4 months that our staff as a church has worked really, really, really hard to get us ready for the next season we believe God is taking us into. And so we do a lot of planning here as a church so that we can walk into the areas and the plans that God has for us. And I can say I've been pastor of this church now for 10 years, and I just say that I feel like this particular season is a season where we're ready to be where God wants us to be more than any other season that I've ever experienced as the pastor of this particular church. And I can just say we've worked really hard. And I would say, I just want to thank our leadership team that we have here as a church. We have an amazing board. We have some amazing elders and elder candidates. We have an amazing staff. We have some amazing leaders that without their commitment and their prayers and their hard work for this church, we just wouldn't be sitting here today. And I want to thank that team because I believe we have the best team. I can say without any question, we've got the best team that we've ever had ready for God to do what he wants to do in this church and ready to lead and take us there. And I can say that some of the people on our leadership team, some of the people on our staff have been through fire this year. How many of you have been through fire this year? You've been through fire. And when you go through fire, I believe that you come out stronger for it. When you go through fire, I think you come out on the other side more mature, wiser, better, stronger. On Tuesday, we had this enormous storm here. It didn't hit all areas of our city, but this big storm. And I counted for over 4 minutes straight, thunder rolled on the property here at the church. It just never stopped once. It was like Garth Brooks was here himself. And it just kept rolling. And the rain was literally just dumping over our buildings. The gutters couldn't hold anything in. And I had to drive home with no top on a Jeep. And, you know, I'm committed. But what I realize is, like, sometimes those storms make you stronger. Because 2 days after that storm, I went outside, and earlier this year, I planted a banana plant in our backyard. And that thing grew, I think, probably like 33% in 2 days since that storm. And that's not a joke. And my wife can attest. It got a lot bigger. And there was something, even though that storm was difficult, it brought about what that plant needed to be able to grow into the level that God had intended it to grow to. And so you may have been through fire this year, but if you keep faithful, if you keep saying, not me, I believe that the fire that you've been through will make you a stronger person and will make you more effective for the kingdom of God. How many of you are stronger for the fires that you've been through? I know I am. You wouldn't want to do it again. But you might also not trade it for the world because of where God's brought you through as a result of some of those fire. And so I just want to state for you on these vision weekends, this weekend and next weekend, that we are ready to grow. This church is ready to grow. We're ready to be where God wants us to be. We've been praying for growth here at Fellowship Church. We've been working hard to grow here at Fellowship Church. We've been planting seeds to grow here at Fellowship Church. We've been watering those seeds. We've been weeding the fields. We've been waiting for God to meet us at our level of faith. And that's why we sang that song today. I know that breakthrough is coming. And by faith, I see a miracle. And I'm believing for a breakthrough in our lives, in our families, in our households, in our church. And we're trusting in God to make a way for us in His presence to lead us exactly to where He wants us to go. And so we're believing and waiting for God to meet us at our level of faith, and as a result, allow us as a church to grow into a healthier, more mature area than we've ever been before. And I fully believe that that's going to happen. And this church, if you want to know, like, well, what's this church about? I can just say, we want to have an impact in this region. We want to make an impact for the gospel of Jesus Christ in our city and in our region. And as you think about that for a minute, I just would like you to ask yourself the question, well, why not us? Why can't we, working under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit, make a difference for the gospel of Jesus Christ within our area? And so we need to make an impact. And I've had some interesting conversations with some people over the last couple of weeks, and really for the last 20 years I've been in ministry to some capacity. I have this conversation with people, and some people say things like this. They say, well, I would like to make an impact. I would like to see our church moving and growing, but the problem with that is I just like small churches. How many of you have ever thought that, said that, or heard that before? I like small churches. And I like small churches for a lot of those same reasons too. And what we're actually saying when we say that is what we're saying is, I like to be able to connect with people. But do you know that some of the biggest churches I've ever worked with, their staff and their leaders and people who attend those churches, have just as easy of a time as connecting as smaller churches do? What I've learned is connecting is all about us making a decision to connect. It's us making the decision to get to know people, to help people grow, to walk in life with people. And I would say, yeah, I get it. I like to connect with people. I like to know people as well. But there are things that we can do in our churches so that we can know the people that God wants us to know, and we can grow to the level that God wants us to grow, regardless of the size of those particular churches. And so at the end of this message, I'm going to let you know, if you're like, well, I really like to connect with smaller groups of people, I'm going to share with you as we end how you can do that this year so that you can grow stronger relationships and be connected with the people that God's intended you to connect with. But a church should be growing. A church should be multiplying. And it should be doing that exponentially. And we'll talk about exponentially here in a second. And I want you to ask yourself the question, why not us? I want to share a couple statistics with you about Fellowship Church. This is our vision weekends. And so if you're visiting this weekend, this might be like, this is an odd week to be here. But no, this is a great week to be here. I want to share with you a couple things about our church. I want to share with you a couple things about the American church. And then I want to share a couple things with you about our city and our area that we live in. So you might ask, well, what's the statistics of Fellowship Church right now as we stand? Right now, our church, Fellowship Church, has 136 people who are not members, who have not yet taken the step to become covenant members here at Fellowship Church that attend our services regularly. 136. It said, this is our church home. We are local. We attend Fellowship Church at least once a month, and we're not members yet. We have 94 members who are local that attend Fellowship Church. Now, a lot of churches, you may have noticed, like you might ask a church, well, how many members do you have? And they'd be like, we have 80,000 members. And basically what that means is anybody who's ever walked through their door automatically is a member. That's not a good idea. We believe that membership here at Fellowship Church is really a sacred commitment that you make to serve the body of Christ and to grow together. And so we ask people who decide to become members at our church to take ownership of their church. And so as a church, we actually don't want members. As a church, what we want is owners, people who take ownership of the things that are going on around here. So we have about 136 non-member attenders. We have about 94, 95 members who actively attend. And we have about 100 regular attenders who are children that come on the weekends. And so that puts us right at around 330 local, and I keep saying the word local, about 330 local people who come through this church over the month and say, this is our home local church. But in that, we're not counting visitors, we're not counting creasters. If you're a creaster, I don't mean any harm to you today. But a creaster is someone who only comes to church on Christmas and Easter. If you're here, we're glad you're here. We do it 52 weeks a year. Join us a couple other times. You'll like it. And it's not counting people like that. It's also not counting people who are shut in, who can't come to church any longer, that have been a part of our church for years or decades. And it's not counting people that join us every week online. We have people all over our country that we're literally their home church that don't even live in our state, let alone our area. And so this is a unique dynamic of some things that we're doing as a church. And so about 330 people. What I would say is we're a pretty average American church. And you say, well, what is the average American church? And I'm glad you asked. The average American church is 70 people. The average American church has 70 people within their congregation that come on a regular basis. And of every single church in the United States of America, churches of under 100 people, so churches of less than 100 people, they compose 57% of every single church in our country. And so the vast majority of churches in this nation are under 100 people. Last weekend, with our volunteers and kids and adults, we had about 175 people here. Last year, during the school year, we had hovering between 125 and 150, but 57% of churches in America are less than 100 people. Did you know that actually 21% of all churches in America are less than 50 people? That's one-fifth of every church in the United States of America is under 50 people. And you might say, well, what is a big church? A big church is actually anything over 100. Because if you look at over 250 people, of all the churches in America, only 10% have over 250 people. Does that surprise you? Only 10%. And sometimes we look at the mega churches that get all of the attention and we say, okay, well, but how many of them actually are there? Well, there are only 5% of churches in the United States that have over 500 people. It's less than 1% has over 1,000 people. And so when you look at those numbers, you can say, like, okay, this is a pretty average American church. As your pastor, I don't want to be average. I don't want to be average. I actually want to see us reach people in our city. And so I want to tell you what some statistics about our city, and sometimes this really fascinates people. What are the demographics of Salem? Some people, a lot of you come from very small towns, and you're like, this is a pretty big city. And a lot of you come from very big cities, and you're like, this is a very small town. And so we have different perspectives of our city, but I want to share with you about our city a little bit. Our city is the second largest city in our state. We have 173 173,442 people in Salem. And for all you weird Eugene fans, you'd be like, well, Eugene is bigger. It's not, by the way. Eugene has 171,245, and that is including U of O students and including hippies as well. And so we're the second largest city in the state. And not only are we the second largest city in the state, we're actually the second largest metropolitan city in our state, metropolitan region. Our metropolitan region is Salem-Keizer and the surrounding area. In Salem-Keizer and the surrounding area, we have 400,408 people. Is that surprising to any of you? Do you think that was bigger or smaller? Like, that's an interesting number. You're like, well, Eugene Springfield is bigger. No, I really hate Eugene. It's not. There are 347,748. We win. I like Eugene and all the people there, but I like Salem better. And so our metro region is the second largest in the state. And so this is why I'm pointing this out. Here's what I want you to know. Right now, Fellowship Church is actively reaching 0.083% of our entire region. 0.083%. What would a church in our area look like if it actually reached 1%? There's one church in Salem that is reaching 1%. There's not many of us reaching very many people. I would love to see the churches in our city reach our city. I would love to see churches quit just transferring Christians back and forth from churches and actually reach some people who don't know Jesus so that people can come to know Jesus and see the churches in our area actually grow and not just transfer people from other churches. Amen? We'd love to see people come to know Christ. And so we've been called to reach more than 0.083%, and every church in our city has been called to reach more than 0.083% of our city. And so why not us? Why can't the Christians in this city actually reach people with the grace, love, and hope of Jesus Christ? And I want to encourage you this year by some very practical steps to be able to do that. Church planting. How many of you, raise your hand real high if you know what that term means, church planting. Church, that means starting new churches. I'm a huge fan of church planting. We could start 1,000 new churches in our city and still not reach every person here. I'm a fan of church planting. If we had 10 churches plant new churches right around our property, I would be thrilled because that wouldn't affect the number of people we reach. It would exponentially grow who we're reaching for Christ. And so we, as gospel-preaching, Jesus-loving, Bible-teaching churches, we're actually on the same side. So I love church planting, and I also love church campusing, which is really the trajectory of our country right now, is that churches are realizing it is cheaper, it is more effective, it is more efficient to not just amass large buildings, but to start congregations all over their cities to reach more people for Jesus. So I'm a fan of both of those things. But I want to tell you a story that's going to make it seem like I'm not a fan, but keep in mind I am, okay? You agree to do that? I'm a fan, but I want to tell you a little bit of story. Recently, I discovered that a church from the Portland area started a campus in our city. So a church from Portland started a campus in our city. And do you know what I say about that? Awesome. Please send more. We need more churches. And so as I tell this story, no, I am a giant supporter of that. But on one hand, I saw their social media campaign. And the social media campaign of this church that started a church in Portland, they didn't come out and say it, but almost implied like Salem really needs a good church. Which, okay, I get it. That's cool. But I started to see the interaction with comments of people on the social media campaigns, and a lot of the comments were like, finally, Salem will get a good church. And I would have loved to point in there like, hey, there's about 200 here already. Like, there's a lot of good churches in Salem. And it's my prayer and my hope that that church reaches a lot of unchurched, unchristian people in our city. But I just was a little put off by the lingo that people were kind of using. And it was almost as if a church that was coming from Portland was somehow going to be God's gift to Salem. Like, finally, Salem got a Cracker Barrel. Or finally, Salem got a Chick-fil-A. I don't think that'll ever happen. Finally, Salem got an In-N-Out. Actually happening. So it was like, we're kind of like, we're God's gift to Salem. And as I was following the social media campaign, I watched their services launch, and I noticed something really interesting, and I pointed it out to our staff. And I said, what do you notice about the crowd of people at their first church service? And our staff looked at the picture, and this is what we all said in unison: old people. I love old people. I'm fast on the way to becoming an old person. I've got, if I didn't shave this side of my head this week, it would be all white. Like, I'm with you, old people. I'm there. But here's what I noticed. Here's why that's relevant. Because this particular church, who were they reaching? They were reaching reached people. They were reaching churched people who left their churches to go to another church so that that church could be the next big thing until they get offended there and go somewhere else. You following my line of thinking here? Why should a church from Portland come to this city to reach our people? You understand that? Why not us? Why can't the churches in our city reach our people? And this church, they got it. They're like, hey, Salem actually is not doing a very good job reaching people. We need to come plant a church there to reach people in the second largest metro area in our city. And I agree with them. But I want to ask you the question, who are you reaching? Who are you reaching? Not for fellowship church, not for evangelical churches. Who are you reaching for Jesus in your community? Who are you actually reaching for Jesus? And as you think to yourself, well, someone else will do it. Someone else can do it. I would say probably not. But even if someone else could, or even if someone else will, or another church will, I just want to ask you the question, why not you? Why not me? Why not us? Why can't we choose to be a part of reaching more than 0.083% of churches, like most other churches in our city are actually doing? See, I have a desire to reach people. And I understand that as the pastor, this is not my church, but the vision God's given me is inexplicably tied to this church. I understand that. And so I just want you to think about a couple things. I desire Fellowship Church to be a church that reaches unchurched people. I desire Fellowship Church to be a church that reaches people who do not know Jesus. I desire Fellowship Church to be a church that reaches people who don't have preconceived notions about how church can be. That's the most frustrating thing, by the way. I don't want to reach people who have preconceived notions how church should do things. I want to reach people who have no preconceived notions, and they are ready to run to reach more people for Christ. I want Fellowship Church to be a church who reaches people who aren't connected in community with churches. I want Fellowship Church to be a church that doesn't let religion get in the way of reaching people. So if he's like, okay, what kind of church is Fellowship Church? I hope that spelled it out a little bit for you. And I hope that you can choose to be a part of reaching people like this. You see, Jesus is looking for his followers to reach unreached people. Jesus is looking for his followers to grow his kingdom. And I just want to have you again ask the question, why not us? If Jesus is looking for people to grow his kingdom, why not us? So why should a church grow? What's the point? Like, isn't someone's religion their personal business that they shouldn't talk about? That's what your culture tells you, and that's just not true. Because you have all sorts of other religions cramming their things down your throat. We don't want anything to do with religion. We want people to have a relationship with Jesus. And if we really have a relationship with Jesus, we'd actually want people to enter into that relationship too. We'd actually want people to embrace and experience all that Christ has for them. And so, no, that is not something private that you keep to yourself. I don't go into the community or to work or to school and hide the fact that I'm married. So why would we hide the fact that we have relationship with the creator of the universe, who loves us so much that he would send his son to save us and to give us life? So why should a church grow? Look at Matthew 16. Peter tells Jesus, he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looks at Peter and he said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, his given name. He said, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. He says, I tell you this, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You see, Jesus is building his church. Jesus desires his church to grow. He's building it. And he's going to build it on the foundation that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is what the church of Jesus is built on, is this confession that Jesus is God in the flesh who came to live, to die, to rise again. He is worthy of our worship as God. He is the sent, anointed Messiah who has come to wash away the sins of the world. That's what the church is built on. The church should grow because Jesus is building it, and we might as well take part. Why should the church grow? Because in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus told us to go. After Jesus died, rose again, and before he ascended into heaven, he said, go make disciples. Go make disciples. And you see, the problem is that many of us Christians look and we say, what Jesus is actually saying is, I might suggest that if you have an opportunity or a time when you're not busy with other things, might you possibly think about maybe inviting someone to a Bible study? But that's not what Jesus said. He actually says, go make disciples. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He says, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And he says, in case you're worried about that, don't worry, because I'm going to be with you always to the very end of the age. Why should a church grow? Because Jesus is building it. Why should a church grow? Because Jesus said to go. And then when you go and you jump ahead to Acts chapter 1, literally, as Jesus was ascending to the Father in heaven, this is what he tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. And so Jesus says, go. But then he says, I'm not just going to send you. I'm going to put gas in your tank to get there. I'm going to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit, because you ain't doing this on your own. Flesh and blood's not going to get this work done. The Holy Spirit is. So it's not by your might. It's not by your power, but it's by the Spirit, says the Lord. So I'm going to send your Spirit. And you see what happens when the disciples of Jesus waited for the Holy Spirit, and they waited for 10 days. When the disciples of Jesus were filled with the Holy Spirit, which they were on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the death of Jesus. When the disciples received power to be the witnesses of Jesus. When the disciples went, when they decided to go, they growed. When they goed, they growed. And I get that that's not correct, but it really makes more sense than the correct. When they decided to go, that's when God enabled them to grow. Let's just say, when they goed, they growed. When you go, you grow. You will not grow if you do not go. When the disciples goed, they growed. Acts chapter 2. They're filled with the power of the Spirit, and it's not so that they would feel good and have a holy huddle as Christians. They were filled with the Spirit so that they could be witnesses of Jesus Christ. And Peter, the idiot follower of Jesus, which he was, by the way, filled with the power of the Spirit, it's not his flesh and blood anymore. It's the Spirit of God who prompts him to walk down the stairs from a second-story meeting room where there's 120 Christians. On the first day of the church, there's only 120 Christians on the entire planet. Just a little less than double the size of an average American church. And Peter starts preaching the good news. And by the way, the gospel is good news. He starts preaching the good news of Jesus. And as people heard of God's kindness started to lead them to repentance. And it actually says it cut them to the heart. And they said, what should we do? And Peter said, okay, well, you need to go to this class at church for 10 weeks. You need to join this group. You need to have personal devotion time in the morning. You need to give up these things in your life. You need to adopt these things. And then maybe you could then finally be good enough for Jesus. That's what religion tells people, by the way. That's American Christianity. Peter says, oh, you're cut to the heart? What should you do? Let me tell you. Here's what he says. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. And it says, with many other words, he challenged them. And it says, the last verse, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is not God's way, but it was the culture of that time usually just counted men. It has nothing to do with how God sees women or God counts women. No, the culture recorded men. Most historians would look at that and say, probably 10,000 people received the gospel that day. When you include men and women and their households, on one day, 10,000 people came to know Jesus and were baptized on that day. They didn't go to a class, did they? They received Jesus, they repented of their sins, and they were baptized. They came to know Christ. The church in one day went from 120 to 10,000. That's exponential growth of people, not church people, by the way, coming to know Jesus Christ. And so if this is the kind of power, if this is the kind of obedience, if this is the kind of going, if this is the kind of growing, if this is the kind of building that people just like us experienced 2,000 years ago, why not us? I'm sick of living to the status quo. I'm tired of getting by. I want to start going. I want to start growing. I want to look back in September of 2020 and said, Fellowship Church goad? And Fellowship Church growed. Not for our sake, but for the sake of Jesus Christ. And so because we as a church take this command to go so seriously, here's our mission as a church. Our mission, it's why we exist, is to connect people to an everlasting, committed relationship with Jesus Christ and with others. That's it. That's it. That's the only reason I'm here today. If we're here to gather together as Christians and to feel good about each other, I'm not here. I'm sleeping in. That's not why I'm here. I am here to connect people to an everlasting committed relationship with Jesus Christ. Everlasting because I believe that whosoever believes in Jesus will not perish but have everlasting life. I want people to have an everlasting relationship with Jesus. But I also believe that Jesus doesn't just desire to see people saved. He desires to see people become his disciples in this life. And so I want our church to make committed followers of Jesus. And we're not just called to connect people with Jesus, by the way. Because you can't connect with Jesus if you're not connecting with his people. And you can't connect with his people and not connect with Jesus. I want Fellowship Church to be all about connecting people to a relationship with others. And if you look around this room, there are other people here, and the people in this room are weird, jacked up, messed up, strange people that you've got to do life with. And we're just this, you have to do life with people because the Bible says, if you love God, you love people. The Bible says you can't love God and not love people. The Bible says you can't not love people and love God. It doesn't make sense. And so our church's mission is to connect people to an everlasting committed relationship with Jesus Christ and with others. So that's why we exist. But here's our vision. Here's who we desire to be. You see, we've got to have a trajectory we're moving in. We got to know who we desire to be as a church. We need to know where we're going. We need to have a future to aim for. We need to have goals to achieve, and that's a vision. And so here's our vision as a church, by the way. Our vision is this, to be a multiplying movement of passionate followers of Jesus. See, multiplying means that we don't just stay the same. Multiplying, that means that we don't just gather other Christians from other churches just to get a larger group. But multiplying means we're multiplying and reaching people who don't know Christ. We want to be a multiplying movement. We want to be on the move. We want to be going. We don't want to be stagnant. A multiplying movement of passionate followers of Jesus. You see, I know followers of Jesus, and I know passionate followers of Jesus. And if I had to choose to be around some people, I'd rather be around passionate people than pathetic people. God's calling us to be passionate about our relationship with Jesus, to be a multiplying movement of passionate followers of Jesus who then impact their community and beyond with grace, love, and hope. You see, the church in our country wants you to impact people with religion and rules and status quos and do this or that to be a good person, but I want to see people changed by grace. I want to see people changed by love and people changed by hope. That's our vision as a church. So it's our mission, and it's our vision. And so I want to give you a specific goal we have as a church I'd like to invite you to be a part of. Specific goal is this. Right now we're reaching 0.083% of our entire metro region. I want to invite you to reach 0.5%. I want to invite you to reach 0.5% of your metro region for Christ. I want to invite you to see 0.5% of 400,000 people within 10 years that Fellowship Church can say, it's not about us, it's about Christ. And we wanted to see people reach for Jesus. And because God used us, we were able to see 0.5% reach for the gospel of Jesus Christ within our city. That's our goal. And I'm going to keep that goal in front of you. And I'm going to invite you, be a part of that goal with us. Seeing people come to know Christ, that would only be about 2,000 locals who are actively committed to our church. That's not very many. 0.5% within the next 10 years. What would that take? That would take us growing 18% every year for the next 10 years. And I believe if we start reaching out to 18% of the people we know to introduce them to Jesus, that's a no-brainer. We can grow 18% every year for 10 years and reach 0.5% of the people in this particular region that we live in. Why not us? But we can't just have a pie in the sky goal. How do we actually want to get there? We want to start multiple churches in our region, period. We want to be a part of a church campus planting movement within our city. We want to start new churches. I personally have been working very hard all year, praying very hard about, God, how can we get back to the center of our city? Because I think if we want to make a big impact in our city by faith, we need to have a strategic location in the center of our city. I am pushing our church to start a campus in downtown Salem within the next 1.5 to 2 years. Because we can be a presence in the center of the city to reach people that are in the center of the city. I have a passion to start a church again in Northeast Salem. I was talking with a law enforcement friend. There are two neighborhoods, Four Corners and Hayesville? Yeah, Four Corners and Hayesville. Those two small neighborhoods in Northeast Salem that are not even incorporated in our city have more people than the entire city of Kaiser put together. We need to be in East Salem. I have a passion this year to start a church in Woodburn. That city is growing. It is moving. The Hispanic culture there is beautiful. It's moving. It's growing. I want to see Jesus continue to have impact in those regions. So I want to invite you to be praying about how can we be a part of a church planting movement within our city, to plant campuses within our city, to reach more and more people for Jesus Christ. Why not us? Here's a couple ways, this is where I wrap this up. Here's a couple ways that you this year can make an impact. You might say, okay, that's a cool goal. And we've got a couple action steps we need to take. We need to start some new churches. How can we actually be part of that? Here's two little things that you can do. They're going to seem like the smallest things, but they're actually the biggest things. Here's the number one thing you can do. Pray. God, would you use us to reach people for Christ? And so our outreach pastor, Paula Lehman, she had this awesome idea. She's like, what if we had a presence in downtown Salem where we were an open sanctuary where people could seek sanctuary, seek solace, seek meditation, seek quiet, seek prayer, and just be in the presence of God? I'm like, well, we don't have a place in downtown Salem. And she said, well, why don't we just open up our doors here? And we said, okay, we'll do that. And so starting in October, we're starting open chapel here at Fellowship Church. That just means that on Tuesdays from 9 a.m. to 2, and on Thursdays from 12 to 3, the doors will be open. You can just come in and pray. Just come in and seek the presence of God. Just come in and seek solace and sanctuary in this space that we will make a sacred space as we're praying for God to move in our city. You might say, well, Pastor, not many people are going to do that. I know. That doesn't matter. But if we open the door and say, God, would you meet us here? Would you do something? I believe God will meet that level of faith. And so prayer is where it starts. Next thing we're going to do is this. Starting in November, we're going to start doing at least every other month prayer walks around the core of our city, hitting up particular neighborhoods in the center of our city. You say, what's a prayer walk? Here it is. Wait for it. You walk and you pray. Oh, and we're going to bring, you know, anointing oil and handkerchiefs and shout at people. No. We're just going to walk and pray. See, Bluetooth is a beautiful thing. Because you can walk around and talk to yourself and people don't think anything of it. So we're going to walk and we're going to pray. And if people know, that's cool. But they won't, because they'll actually think you're talking on a Bluetooth headset. So if you're embarrassed, just put something in your ear. We're going to walk and then we're going to pray. And then we're just going to enjoy each other's company afterwards. We'll have a big breakfast following that. We'll pick a restaurant in Salem where we can go just have breakfast together and just really see what God spoke to us about in our city as we do that. If a lot of you show up, hopefully we'll do it more than once a month or once every other month. So prayer walks. These are some practical things that we can begin to do. We want to, in faith, lay some claim to the center of our city. Here's two other ways that we're going to work towards these goals to lay some claim to the center of our city this year. Show the next slide. Our staff would like to be an active presence in our downtown community and have downtown office space this year. I've been talking to a few of you, like, do you have an office space? Do you know somewhere? You're like, are you looking for an office? And I've told people, no, because I'm not, the church is. But we're looking for some office space. And I speak that out loud right now because some of you here or some of you watching online, you might have some space that we can set up shop right now. Our entire staff meets in a little modular right now at the bottom of a hill that no one comes and interacts with us because we're out on the edge of the urban growth boundary. We would like to be centralized so that we can reach businesses in the center of our city, hold classes in the center of our city, hold prayer meetings in the center of our city, have recovery groups in the center of our city. We need some office space. We could do it for $1,500 a month. So that's a lot of money. It's not. That's cheaper than most of your rent. This is something that I want to invite you to pray for. And God might be speaking to your heart right now. Say, hey, I'll commit to putting Fellowship Church in an office downtown tomorrow so we can start reaching people there and making an impact in that core area. Next slide. We want to start some downtown worship services immediately. We're having a worship night tonight here at Fellowship Church. We would just like to have active presence in the presence of God, worshiping our Savior in the core of our city, believing in faith to make an impact in our city. We're working with our worship director, Casey Freshour, right now. Like, Casey, we need to get you funded so we can pay you to be on staff so that you can carry this out for us as a church. It just needs to happen. I'm not going to ask him to do that if he can't do that. So we'd like to see that weekly by the end of this year, if not monthly. And yesterday, my son and I went scouting out places where we can do that. These are steps that we can take this year to move towards the place that God is actually taking us to. Okay, Pastor, but I can't give an office. What can I do? What can I do? What's the least amount I can do? Here it is. Just show up. Show up. Worship with us every week. Show up. Your presence here makes a big impact. It makes a big difference. Starting in 2 weeks, we're going to have this awesome series called First Things First. We're going to look at the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, and I want to invite you to bring all of your friends, bring people you know. We're going to study this book of the Bible like you've never studied it before. We want to see what God wants to teach us through the first 11 chapters of the first book of the Bible. If you're going to Israel with us this year, this series will be foundational to everything we do in Israel. Pastor, how can I go to Israel? Talk to me afterwards. We'd love to take you. We'd like to ask you to show up for Christmas. This year, we're going to have 3 weeks of Christmas services. Our first weekend will be on December the 8th. We're going to have Christmas for this generation, a cheesy, traditional kids' Christmas service. The best Christmas service I ever went to, Joseph puked all over baby Jesus. We need that to happen again. Why not us? Week 2, Glow. How many of you have been here for Glow before? We have Glow, a campfire Christmas. We're going to have multiple services on the 15th of December just to worship the coming Christ. And finally, we're going old school, a traditional candlelight service with old Christmas songs, with real candles that we hopefully don't burn our building down with or destroy our floor with wax. A traditional candlelight service, not on Christmas Eve, because we want you to spend Christmas Eve with your family, but December 22nd. Final service I'll tell you about. You needed to be here. I've got a friend who is a pastor in Bend. He runs an organization called Rock Bottom Hope. His name is Danny Looney. He is one of the most genuine, charismatic guys I've ever met in my life. He, through the power of God, overcame one of the most radical drug addictions you've ever seen. And on a New Year's service, we're going to have Danny Looney here. He's just going to minister his guts out to the people of our church. And so if you know anybody who's struggling with shame, with addiction, with cycles of abuse, get them here. God's going to use him to do some great things. So I just want to encourage you, show up. I want to encourage you, join a small group. We can't grow together unless we're not growing together. Small groups start next weekend. Yes, okay. Small groups start next week, and we only do them in semesters here. So when you join a small group, you're not committing to be here for like 30 years with the same group of people, because those people would drive you crazy. Give them 8 weeks. We've got 8-week semesters. We're doing a freeway curriculum for small groups, and we're doing sermon reflection. And we've got groups on Tuesdays, on Thursdays, on Sundays, in every neighborhood in this city. And so sign up for groups on our app. What else can I do, Pastor? You can serve. Last week, we had over 50 kids in our building. We had about 45 kids in kids' church. I don't know how many there are today. The biggest need we have as a church is volunteers serving in kids' ministry. If you're like, I hate kids, we don't want you there. But if you hate kids, we've got some things you might like that don't involve kids at all. And hopefully God will convict you to love kids as you do those things. But there's serve cards in front of you. There is an app with every serve opportunity, and next weekend we're having a volunteer fair, and we're also having ice cream sundae next week, so a big buffet of ice cream sundae to gorge yourselves on and have lactose intolerant gas as you leave. But there is, I said that, we're having a volunteer fair next week. We need you engaged with what we're doing. We're asking you to volunteer. And here's the last thing I'll mention. I know it's a lot of stuff, but I'm excited. And next week, we're going to really hit you with some pretty exciting stuff. Last thing is this. What does it take to do all this stuff? A lot of prayer, a lot of commitment, a lot of engagement, and it takes a little money, too. And I would like to ask you, if this is your home church, to begin tithing. I'd like to ask you to begin supporting this church financially. The majority of people in this church don't. And you're welcome here. We love you. Keep coming. We're not going to pester you to do it. But if you love this place, if you love what Jesus is doing in this church, if you'd like to see us go, and if you'd like to see us grow, I want to encourage you to start giving to support this church financially. The biggest immediate financial needs we have is we need to hire a worship pastor, and we need to hire a worship director. You say, we already have them. Yes, we do. I'm a youth director and a worship director, but they don't get paid. We do have them, yes, but they're very limited to how they can serve our students and how they can serve our church. So I invite you to begin giving. Our bills are paid, but for the size of church we have, we don't have enough support staff to do what we do. I want to encourage you to start faithfully supporting this church. And you say, here's one way you can jumpstart that, by the way. We're heading up on Christmas, and on your seats, there's a little commitment card for Christmas. Say, well, Pastor, it's not Christmas. It's coming real fast. I'd like you to make a commitment to jumpstart our church financially into this next year for Christmas so that we can see some of these things play out. And you might say, well, what do these things have to do with anything we talked about? Because we can't really go and we can't really grow if we can't even go to the bathroom. And so men, sometime when there's no women here, go look at the women's bathroom. It's atrocious. Right, women? It is. That's ridiculous. There's no reason why our church can't say we're willing to make a commitment to remodel that thing. So we'd like to remodel our bathrooms. We want to raise $5,000 by Christmas to remodel our bathrooms. Piece of cake. It's so easy. If we all gave something, we can do it. And so either by Christmas or the start of the beginning of the new year, I'd like you to make a commitment. Say, I'm committing to give this much to remodel our bathrooms. Number two, safety upgrades. Our outreach pastor, Paula Lehman, has done an amazing job putting some safety protocols in place for our church for every scenario you can think of. A meteor wasn't there, though. But every scenario you can think of. Yeah, second manual, meteors are coming. And but there's a lot of safety upgrades that we need. We need a defibrillator here. We need a lot more fire extinguishers than what we have here. We need some safety doors for our kids' area to protect them from the worst possible crises you can imagine. In public, we want to be known as a safe church. We want to be known as a church that is safe, that is prepared, and we've done a lot of work to get ourselves there, but we need about $5,000 to make these safety upgrades so that at the beginning of 2020, we can say, we're a pretty safe church, and we've got some plans in place to make this a safe place. The last one, you're like, what in the heck does that have to do with anything? We probably spend $2,500 a year renting bouncy castles. Bouncy castles equal reaching people for Jesus, if you didn't know that. And we'd like to buy a couple. And so there's just a couple really small, tangible ways you can say, I would like to give Fellowship Church this year-end special Christmas offering to get our bathrooms remodeled, get our safety kit and our building safety upgraded, and get some bouncy castles for some kids, because these are some ways we can jumpstart in faith some of these much bigger visions. These are small action steps you can take. And so starting today, if you want to make a commitment to give towards that, if you want to give towards it today, you can write on that card. It's already an option in text to give on our website. And I think it's Xmas offering. If you're like, Pastor, you took Christ out of Christmas. X actually stands for Christ, if you didn't know that. So there, Xmas offering, you can give to that. And either by the end of the year or the beginning of the new year, a lot of you have the IRS be your savings account all year long. If you want to give that way, you can. That's what my family is doing. So we want to go. We want to grow. We have some tangible ways to do it, and I want to invite you to be a part, and I want to invite us to make an impact in our city. If you heard this message, would you just say amen? Amen. So it's a little long, I know, but we've got Mexican food. We've got a band. We're going to have fun. We're going to dance in the rain. Chill out. Okay, would you guys stand? We're going to have Casey come up, lead us in the closing song. If you've been overloaded with information, me too. But why not us? Come next week. There's some really exciting stuff that's tied into all this that we're expecting to see this year that'll blow your mind. So God, I thank you for this time. God, I pray that we would ask ourselves this question. Why not us? Why can't we make an impact in this city for you? Not for us, but for you. God, I pray that each person in this church today would hear this message and that they would make a decision if they would like to be a part or not. And for those who would like to be a part, God, would you equip them? Would you empower them to reach people for Christ? For those who are not wanting to see growing or going, would you convict them, God, to share the good news that has impacted their lives with those in their lives around them, God? We praise you, God. We thank you for this time today. We thank you for this celebration. I pray this church would be able to be engaged through learning, discipleship, small groups, serving, giving, that these practical steps we could take would take us forward into this next space you're taking us, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.